We're in the middle of a series that we've been talking about our life, and sometimes it can get really hectic. Sometimes we add things to our life and we wonder, is there any more that we can add? And so the series has to do with a showdown, really, that has to do with high noon, that we sometimes have to make decisions. We have to get rid of some things. Sometimes we have to say no to some things in order that we can say yes to better things. And so we don't want to get our lives in any area or any facet of our lives where we're so overwhelmed and we're so overburdened. And then sometimes even people say, well, can you just do one more thing? And sometimes it's just too much for us to handle. And so that's kind of where we really struggle a lot. So the idea of the high noon, it's got both of the words we've been talking about, is being able to say no to some things in order that we can be on to some other things and to the more important things. And so a lot of times it has to do with priority. And so, we think about our lives. Sometimes we do get overwhelmed, and I thought kind of the pictures went kind of well last week, so I thought I'd show some other pictures that maybe sometimes you feel like this, sometimes you wonder about things like this, that, you know, could we just add one more? And so sometimes you feel, if you've flown lately, it used to be you fly on the plane, it's only half full, you have breathing room, you can move around, and, you know, you can, but now it's like elbow to elbow, they make the seats smaller, and so you're just kind of, sitting really close, and they're, like, every seat is full. So I don't know what happens once the seats get so full. Where do we go next? And I know this is probably a Photoshop that, the roof racks on the airplanes. And so these are the lower price. We've got first class economy. I don't know what this would be called. Dangerous. They're not even wearing helmets. Sometimes we feel like our lives are so overloaded. And so in some countries, people do actually travel like this. I don't think this was Photoshop. This is real life. But sometimes people, you know, how many more people can you fit on a motorcycle? And, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do in order to get by, but it's not something you'd really want to do all the time. Riding like this on a motorbike from, you know, your home to the store just down the street's one thing. You wouldn't really want to be traveling from Michigan to Florida for a winter vacation with this kind of arrangement, especially since there's not a whole lot of more room for luggage. So that's kind of the issue. And then there's another one with the motorbike, which is kind of interesting. I'm glad the guys are at least wearing helmets. Of course, sir, you know, if they get into an accident, they're all going to fall off. And the guy driving, of course, he has to be on his cell phone. I don't know. Why would somebody even get on a motorcycle like this with, this kind of situation? But, you know, this idea of being overloaded and overwhelmed. And so one more picture that may actually be more like our life of what it looks like. And we know it can be dangerous when we have our electrical systems wired like this. But when our lives are, you know, that's what we're talking about, our life, when things are so overloaded. And the fact is, if we plug one more thing into our life, you know, something's going to blow a fuse. I mean, something's going to happen. We cannot keep going at that kind of pace all the time. Sometimes maybe necessary for a short time, but no one can live on maximum speed, maximum output, maximum everything all the time. And so sometimes we have to learn to say, I need to say no to some things in order that I can say yes to something bigger and something better. And so this is what we're talking about in this series. Today we're talking about money. It's going to be a shorter lesson. So there's miracle number 3. But we hope to be done by, I better check the time. Oh, we got plenty of time. Well, we're going to be done everything, I think, by about 11:45. And the reason is because today is also the day we're going to have a congregational meeting, talk about what we've been doing, what we've been up to, where we're going, and talking about the budget. And some people may say, well, you know, as soon as 11:45 rolls around, that means I can go home early, miss the snow and all that. But the fact of the matter is this, that what we do, think about this, what we do is just as important as what we believe. Oh, no, I'm all about what we believe. We've got to get what we believe right. Who cares what we do? Oh, no, that's not the way God thinks. God says, I want you to believe what is right. You know, you have to be in the truth. You have to teach doctrine. That's important. But how we live the doctrine, what we do with the doctrine, right? So we can talk all day about giving money, and I'm not going to talk at all today about giving money, but how we spend the money is important too. We can talk even about our own lives, about how we make money. But you know, all the money I make, it's mine. Well, if you live in the world, you may think it's yours. It's really not. It's still God's. But we that are Christians, we've said, no, actually, it all belongs to God. Right? God said that he owns what? When he says God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, he was talking to cattle ranchers. And he's saying, I own all your cattle. I'm not just randomly talking about whose cattle I own. Right? God owns it all. And so we are managers of what God has given us. And Jesus actually tells a parable about a management kind of situation. There's many management illustrations and parables and lessons that we can find in the Gospels that Jesus tells about how we manage our time, how we manage our money, how we manage our resources, how we manage our anger, all kinds of management issues. But one time he talked to somebody that they were kind of upset, and it was really about the money. Somebody had died, left a lot of money, and so one of the people said to Jesus, brother, you tell my brother that he needs to split that inheritance with me. I don't have enough. Maybe I didn't get any. Maybe I'm not in the will for whatever reason. But you tell him, because I want more, and I'm not happy with what I have. And so Jesus tells a parable, but before the parable, he gives us something that's very important for us to remember when we think about what's most important. Because if we're not careful, our lives become overwhelmed with money. And some people in our world, they've got themselves so much that they're interested in things and getting more and getting ahead and even looking successful that now they don't even know how to pay for it all. I think we've always had credit. You know, back maybe 100 years ago, you'd go down to the local store, and if you needed some grain, some seed that you were going to plant, sometimes you'd get that on credit, and the store owner would know in the fall during harvest time he'd get something back. But today we have credit for just about everything. You know, you'd have a hard time finding anything in our world that you cannot buy with credit. And so what happens is when we talk about this idea of being overwhelmed, of having so much, of living on the edge, of saying, I don't know where this is going to end up. I don't know what's going to be in the mailbox today. I don't even know who's going to be calling me on my phone today. I'm just so concerned. I'm worried. I'm just so deep in credit. Now what am I going to do? And so it just becomes something that brings a lot of anxiety to our life. And I thought having a lot more was going to bring me peace and contentment and happiness. It was going to make my life everything I ever dreamed it would be. And now we're living in a nightmare. Because why? We've not left any room. We've been living on maximum. We've been living on the edge. We've been saying, I just want more and more and more. And so I find out that, yes, I have another $100 left on my statement before I reach the maximum. And I only have two options. One is to go out and spend that $100, or the second option is to call the credit card company and say, can you up my credit limit because I want to spend more? And this is the way a lot of people live. It's always on the edge. But listen to what Jesus said. It's kind of exactly the opposite. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And so Jesus is saying, this is the problem. The problem is not, oh, I just don't feel like I can make it another day unless I upgrade my cell phone. Because the one I have is 6 months old and it's outdated and I'm not as cool as the next guy in the cubicle at the office. And my car, you know, I'm on a 2-year lease and I'm only in it for a year, but I'm sure I could somehow upgrade to the newer model. I always want more. So it's, you know, if we could call it what it is, it's just greed. That's our problem. We just want more. And why do we want more? We may think it's going to bring us happiness, but more importantly, I think most of us have greed because we want to look successful. We want to look like we're in a better place than what we really are. And so it has to do with appearance. It has to do with my pride and my ego. And so something is feeding this, saying you need more. You need to be the first one to get that product that they're advertising on the television. And if you get it today, we'll double your offer. You know, we just want more and more and more. And if you're unsure about this and you're thinking about watching some small football game today. You have to ask the question, why are companies spending millions of dollars to put a commercial on the television for 30 seconds? And look at the commercials, if you can handle them. Some of them will be immoral. We'll talk about that next week with the whole sex thing. That's why we didn't do it today. The kids are here. But next week, maybe PG-13, okay? But, you know, it's just you got to have more. You can't be happy with what you've got. There's always something bigger and better out there that it's got to do with greed. And look what Jesus says. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And if you said that to most people, they'd say, that's ridiculous. Of course it does. My life is made good by what I have. Whether it's a new car, snowing today, I need a snowmobile. Summer's coming, I need a speedboat, or I need a motorcycle, or I need a bigger house, or I need a new wardrobe, or I need more jewelry, or I need more electronics. Whatever it is, we need more, more, more. But Jesus is saying, that's not what should define your life. And if that's what defines your life, this is what Jesus is saying, that makes you a very shallow person. We think it's going to make us great, and Jesus is saying, this is making you insignificant. We think this is going to add purpose and meaning, and Jesus is saying, this is making you lost, because you're saying, this is what my life is about. More things and more stuff. And this is what kind of a psalmist, but he wrote Proverbs chapter 30, Agar. And so he wrote this scripture reading. We don't have it on the slide, but he's saying, Lord, don't give me too much. My heart is not after wealth and just having so much more. Because what would he say? What was going to happen? He's saying that I would forget you. And I don't think he's saying this. If I had so much more stuff, I wouldn't be in church. I think he'd still come to church. If I had so much stuff, I'd never read the Bible. He'd probably still read the Bible. If I had more and more and more, I wouldn't say my prayers before I went to bed or before he'd still do that. But what he would do is he'd put his whole life into what he has. Now, God would still be on the periphery. He'd still be in the neighborhood. He'd still be close enough in case something happened, we could call out. But my life is no longer defined by my relationship with God. My life is defined by what I have. So he wasn't talking about some kind of amnesia, forgetting God. He was just saying God would no longer be number one. God would have to take a back seat. I'd have to say, God, I found something more fulfilling, more important, something more enjoyable than you. And so he's saying, that's not what I want. And so Paul writes to Timothy and basically telling Timothy he has to deal with some things. And it has to do with stuff. The reason I have this slide is because, you know, the parable that Jesus told back in Luke was about this, that there was a man who had more and more and more. He was so productive. He had so much stuff and he was so fruitful. And he was just an entrepreneur. And I mean, he was just growing and growing. He says, I got to tear down my barns. And I got to build bigger barns because I just got to keep all of my stuff. I need more and more. It's all for me. And I bet you've never done that. You've never torn down your barns to build bigger barns. No, we don't do that in America. There's maybe not enough real estate in your neighborhood. We rent. That's what we do. We say, I've got so much stuff, I don't even know where to put it. This is a huge business, and you know it is. You can go down about just any major street, and you find places where people have to rent space so they can keep their junk and their stuff. Why? Because they have so much. And they're getting more and more and more. And they get to the point where they don't even know what they have in here. You talk to people, it's like, yeah, they got a storage unit. What's in there? I have no idea. It's full. I mean, it's full. Don't know what's in there, though. Do you think that maybe that's a sign that you have too much stuff? Is that a sign that you don't need to go to the mall today? Right? I mean, you can go back and open this up and you can start all over again and say, hey, this is like brand new to me. I didn't even know I had it. Right? This is the way a lot of people live. The question is, do we live like this? Our life is about our stuff. So this is what Paul said to Timothy. He's trying to teach Timothy so he could teach the church. And he says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So that's the loving money, loving stuff, loving more, loving to keep up with everybody else, loving to look successful. All these things, it causes so much evil. It causes pride. It causes arrogance. It causes people to steal and to borrow and to take. And quite often it even causes some people to murder. It's kind of interesting. I was listening to some of the stories that have been told of people in the past that they've won millions of dollars in the lottery. And either they've spent it all in just a matter of a couple of years, sometimes 20, 30, 40 million dollars in just a couple of years, it's all gone. Or else they've been murdered, quite often by a family member. You know, so this is what happens when people just love. I just love things. I love money. I love possessions. I love the world so much. I just want more. And people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So he's saying, just be careful. He's not saying there's anything wrong with having things and there's nothing wrong with money. And we know there's a lot of people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that had money, that had possessions, that were rich. And they wasn't bad. It's not bad to have it. It's bad to love it. It's bad to make that the center of your life. It's bad when we say this is the priority. It's bad when we say I'm living maximum speed so that I can get more and I can live for all this stuff. This is what defines my life. He said, that's bad, real bad. He's saying don't do that. Don't love money like that. In verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6, command those. That's a pretty strong word. Command those who are rich. That's going to be hard to do, wouldn't it? Because these are the rich people in your church. And the last thing you want to do is to tick them off. Because then they're going to leave. And all the rest of your members are going to go, well, duh, what did you think was going to happen? But he's saying, no, you command the people that are rich. In the present world, don't be arrogant. Don't put your hope in wealth. Why? It's uncertain. Put your hope in God. But listen to this. God is the one who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God has given us what we have. Why? So we can enjoy it? See, there's nothing wrong with enjoying what you have, enjoying possessions. Just don't make them your God. Don't just live maximum life speed and life priority on this stuff. Enjoy it. So it's tempered with how we live. And then he also says, command them. These are the rich people. These are the people that have money. And sometimes maybe some of us don't have money, because we've got so much stuff for ourselves, whenever we see a need, we say, I'd like to help. I can't help because I've got no money left. I've already spent it all on me. Sorry. That could be a real problem. Now, if you're poor, yes, it's more difficult to come up with extra. But most of us in here are rich, right? So I'm saying maybe if your family income is over $30,000 or $40,000 a year, you're rich. I know you're not as rich as everybody else. You always find more people that, hey, they've got more, they've got something bigger, they make more money. But all of us have riches. And so we look for those opportunities where we can be rich in good deeds, where we can be generous, where we can share. This is what we're talking about. What do we do with what we have so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can be faithful stewards, so that we can honor God in all of our lives, which includes our stuff, our money, our possessions, and our attitude towards them. People can be very poor and still have a deep love for money, for more, for things. Doesn't matter where we are. Question is, where is our heart? In the same way, these people will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. And so this is what he's saying. You know, there's more important, much more important, is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ than anything in this world. More than any other person in this world. Bigger than any endeavor you could ever, any dream you could ever have in this world. This relationship with God. Today we want to encourage you if you're ready to make that kind of a decision to say, I want to live for God. I want to surrender my life to God. I want my life to mean something. I've been running after things of the world, thinking that's going to bring me happiness and joy and content. It's going to bring me peace. Everything's going to work out well because I have more. Today, if you're not a Christian, today's a great day to make that decision to say, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to let Him be my priority. He's going to be the love of my life. He is going to be the one that I'm going to find peace and happiness. And what he said there in Timothy, the true life is found in Christ. We're going to sing this song, I Bring My Sins to Thee. If we can encourage you in your Christian walk, if today you want to be baptized into Christ, let's stand, let's sing together, and you can come forward and let us know.